My name is Tony Greenstein. I've lived in Brighton for 50 years. I've been an anti-fascist activist all of my adult life.
Jewish anti-Zionist activist, author of Zionism During the Holocaust, and the first Jewish person to be expelled from the Labour Party during the false anti-Semitism scares. I have been charged under Section 12(1)(a) of the Terrorism Act 2000 with expressing an opinion or belief in support of a prescribed organisation, which is Hamas, and being reckless as to the effect it has on people. Well, I mean, I can quote the exact parts, but that's off the top of my head. Making a supportive statement, whatever that means. So, basically, as far as I'm aware, it was giving support to the Palestinian resistance last October the 7th.
Well, I mean, I'd just like to note that the news over the last few days of the Al-Nusra Front, the rebranded version, taking over the cities in northern Syria. Now, this organisation has never been proscribed by the Foreign Office, and yet they are actually your serious head choppers, these guys.
Well, yes, it seems that some terrorists are our best friends, and some terrorists, which are not terrorists, are our enemies and have to be proscribed as terrorists. It's a curious mixture, but then Britain and the United States were the midwife, if you like, to ISIS in Iraq, because before the invasion of Iraq, there was no ISIS, just as before the West started interfering in Afghanistan, there was no Al-Qaeda. So all these terrorist groups come as a result of British and American foreign policy, and we know that Israel has been giving succour and support to ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Syria. We know that Saudi Arabia and Qatar have been supplying them with weapons, and we're pretty sure the CIA did much the same, because there are terrorists and terrorists, and as long as we're on the same side as them, then they don't get proscribed. I mean, that's a reality.
Yeah, can you just say something about the way that this word, terrorist, has emerged, really? Mostly since the Second World War, it seems to have almost taken off a life of its own. And a terrorist, it seems very difficult to discriminate between somebody who is a freedom fighter and a terrorist, and also whether a part of a national formal army, such as the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, can be classed as a terrorist organisation?
Well, it's a good question. It was Margaret Thatcher's Foreign Secretary, her first Foreign Secretary, Lord Carrington, who said one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist, and that's absolutely right. It depends on what perspective you're looking at it. After all, the Nazis branded the French resistance and the Polish resistance as terrorists, but we wouldn't consider them anything other than freedom fighters. So it just really depends on what side you are. So, for example, in Ukraine, the former terrorists at the Azov, the neo-Nazi Azov battalions, suddenly became freedom fighters at the drop of a hat. So, I mean, these things are very interchangeable. But I think we can say very clearly, Hezbollah are not a terrorist group. I define terrorist groups as those who plant or drop bombs in the middle of civilian targets. And there's no better terrorist than the Israeli state. But of course, they don't brand states as terrorists. So there you have it. It's really entirely subjective. And that's the hypocrisy which lies behind all this. I mean, there are terrorists. ISIS is certainly a terrorist group. It has the Bataclan massacre was a particularly awful example. There have been other examples in Germany where, or was it France? Nice, that's right, where a lorry mowed down and killed 80 people. And that is a clearly terrorist event. But what's the difference between that and Israel bombing tent encampments and dropping £2,000 bombs in the middle of refugee camps? I mean, is that not terrorist? How come? The hypocrisy is staggering. So, but Hamas has done nothing of the kind. It's fought back against Israel with a very puny weapons, and that's its major crime. Israel is our ally, therefore Hamas is a terrorist group. Nothing.
Anyway, look, we can cheer hooray here in Britain because we're protected by the stalwart MI5, the security service here in Britain. We've just had the news that those 300 or so victims and families of those who were killed in the Manchester Arena bombing in 2017 in the run-up to that general election, they were told, well, you're going to have to wait until the inquiry's finished before you can sue MI5 for damages. And then they're told immediately, as soon as that happens, that no, they won't be able to.
Yes, I mean, that's the total awfulness of this, of course, because we know that his name was Abadi, wasn't he? He was a Libyan. He was basically a double agent of MI6. They sponsored him to go fight with these terrorist groups against Gaddafi, and in the course of that, he seemed to have turned against them and then carried out the Manchester Arena bombing when 22 died, and I don't know how many people were injured. But yeah, I mean, MI5, MI6, I'm not quite sure which one, bears a heavy responsibility. And if the victims are not being allowed to sue, that is absolutely outrageous given the guarantees that they were had. And that just goes to show the depths of iniquity of the British state, the way they protect their own. There's absolutely no reason why, given it's a state involved, they're not able to sue. I wasn't aware of that, but I can believe it.
We've had the British state this week. We've had this wonderful state visit with all the pomp and ceremony and the army out in their dress uniforms, parading around, welcoming the Emir of Qatar to London. Now, Qatar's a very interesting little place. They have been hosting the negotiations for the peace in Gaza. And also, of course, they have the very powerful, wide-ranging, long-reach English language Al Jazeera, don't they? If you were a fly on the wall with the Emir and King Charles, what do you think they're chit-chatting about?
I wouldn't hazard a guess, but I imagine the Emir is reassuring Charles that we're all on the same side. I mean, it's the one thing to his credit that Al Jazeera seems to have been left relatively free to report in the way it has. It is a breath of fresh air compared to the BBC, the ITV and not CNN. So that's probably the one good thing he's done. But when it comes to places like Syria, he's in the same bed as the Saudis. I mean, I know that Saudi Arabia threatened Qatar, and its very independence was under threat at one time. But nonetheless, it has, I think, the biggest American base in the Middle East. So make of it what you will.
Okay, people want to follow this so-called court case if it all goes ahead, Tony. Any recommendations of places they can do that?
Yes, well, I'll be at Westminster Magistrates Court. I think I've got it shifted to the 19th of December, 10 a.m, and there will be a demonstration outside. So I advise people to go along because, you know, when they start using terrorism against dissidents, you've really got to watch out for your own liberties.
Yeah, Sarah Wilkinson, she doesn't strike me as your typical terrorist.
No, she doesn't strike me at it either. I mean, it's clear the terrorist police or the anti-terrorist police, if that's what they are, see their role really as clamping down on dissent, not as finding terrorists. It's curious that, but then we've always said the anti-terror laws aren't really about terrorism because nobody has ever been caught or prosecuted as a result of those laws. That they're useless in the fight against terrorism because, of course, you know, I mean, someone who's a terrorist will be charged with murder. I mean, the ordinary laws are more than sufficient. So these extra powers are about strengthening the state against dissidents, nothing more.
Yeah, I suppose the irony is that much of this terrorist legislation came in under the war criminal Tony Blair.
Well, naturally, yes. It takes a war criminal to pass legislation like this.
Is there anywhere, do you think, would be a decent place, a good website, a news site or whatever, to pick stuff up? Because obviously this sort of case is not reported very well by the mainstream press, is it? Which tends to follow the establishment line.
You can follow the Canary, you can follow Squawk Box, and there are various others. But so, the Network for Police Monitoring, NetPol. That's one.
Tony Greenstein, thanks very much for joining us again.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Thank you.